Are y'all ready to receive from the Lord tonight?
Yes.
I'm going to talk to you tonight about be diligent to, and then you fill in the blanks. There was really something else that I wanted to teach, but as I started praying about it Thursday night, I felt like the Lord was leading me this way, and I even tried to put something together Friday and just quit. And yesterday, this is what He gave me. And I want to start by, I think it's appropriate at year end, and I want to start by telling you what happened to me earlier this year as I was doing some teaching on this same subject at another place, an extended teaching, actually six sessions on it. Many of you know the Lord had us to form a ministry, and that's no glory to me, all to Him. But in this, He told me that we needed to have a website. And so here's my thought process. I'm waiting for all the approvals to come through as we submitted all the paperwork, and I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to start to get ready. And as I started that, one day in March, He spoke to me and He said, getting ready is not being ready, and I told you to be ready. Big difference. And from all that, again, studying diligence, I wanted to be in a position so that more fruit could be produced. And I think that's where we all are this year, this time and a point in our life. And so as a year-end reminder, I think it's something purposeful that we can talk about and maybe propel us to achieve more next year for His glory, and produce that fruit that remains than we ever have before. So let's start by defining what Webster says about the word diligent or diligence. Characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. I looked it up in the 1828 Webster's because they use a lot of Bible terms sometimes. And that one adds to this, exertion of body and mind without unnecessary delay or sloth. Now for sloth, that just means lazy. You'll see that a little later on. But when I looked up I'm knowing that there's more to this. So when I looked up the word, the origin of the word, which is diligere in Latin, it means this, to value highly. Now, that puts a totally different connotation on it, doesn't it? Because heretofore, everything was about what I'm going to do, the physical part of it, the work part of it, our fleshly part of it. It means to value highly, to take delight in, to love, and to choose. So as I have been studying diligence, I would put forth to you tonight that diligence is a work that takes place down in our spirit, that when we get our mind renewed to what the Word says and we're diligent in the things He tells us to, it's an empowerment for the grace that He's given us to be diligent in whatever He's called us to do, whatever He's graced us with. We always say, with every grace comes an enabling, and that's certainly true, but I just see this as something that can propel us on much further than I have been able to do on my own. So I want you to think of biblical diligence as much more than just working hard with the flesh. I also want to point out that, because we're going to read some pointed verses tonight, that for most of us, we are very diligent in certain areas. And we have some others that we're not very diligent at all in. And so when we see instruction and it's instructing us to do something in an area we're not strong in, then what should we do tonight? We should take that word, as 2 Timothy 3 says, and we should receive that instruction so that we live. It's going to teach us how to live more in righteousness. And so if this speaks to you tonight, praise God. So I want you to start in 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I want to introduce this with a couple of verses that just, for me, whets my appetite about what's possible. So 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, which I am, listen to this phrase, stirring up your sincere mind. So he's wanting to stir us up, I believe, tonight. And by way of reminder, you may have heard some of this before. But back up to the first line. This is now, beloved. And we're going to see this over and over tonight. And we're going to see that part of the way we walk in diligence is knowing and receiving the fact that we are the beloved of the Lord. Next verse, verse 2. That you should remember the word spoken. Now this is important because it's pointing us back to the word of God. Beforehand by the prophets, the Old Testament, and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So we're talking about how this remembrance and reminding you is what the Lord said and what he's instructed us to do. And then let's skip down to verse 14. In between these verses is really a discussion of the kingdom, the coming kingdom of the Lord. And in verse 14, it says, therefore, beloved, there it is again, since you look for these things, all these things that are going to be happening that he's been talking about in the verses in between, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. So let me start with the phrase, be diligent to be found by him. That says to me, I want to be walking in diligence doing the things he's told me to do all the time, not just when I think he's looking at me. How many people have you worked with in your jobs where when the boss is around, they are the most diligent, productive appearing people that you've ever seen? I would submit to you that if we listen to the enemy of our soul sometime and to what he's telling us, and we'll see some of those words here in a moment, that can be us also and we don't realize it. That's areas that we get lax in. But look at this. We're to be found by him in peace. Now peace means something different. If you talk about peace, one of the key components of it being at rest, that's very different from being lazy. You're going to see rest come up again. Spotless, which we know, and blameless. So that's a hope that that if I am found diligent by him in peace, spotless and blameless, that this is something that I can really walk in. Now listen to what the Amplified said. It says, be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish or peace. Now the word diligent in this verse is the Greek word spoudazo, S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O, for those of you who want to note those kind of things. And it literally means, and this is what I want us to look at some of the words, because you're going to get a different understanding of diligence. It means to use speed. That is to make effort, to be prompt, or earnest. So you're going to begin to see as we go through some of these verses and look at the word diligent, a breadth of meaning for this term diligence. You're going to see that it's more than just some hard work. So speedily, prompt, and earnest. Now I want you to go over to 2 Peter 1. A few pages to the left, or a swipe of your phone to the left. And I want to start in verse 2 and go through verse 10. Verse 2, just because I like to read this verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that we might become partakers of the divine nature, his nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, think about everything pertaining to life and godliness so that we can receive that so that he's glorified through our lives. So it's not just about us. It's about us just demonstrating to the world him, in other words, producing fruit. And then it goes in verse 5 and says, now for this very reason also. And look how it starts, this list of things that we want to build on in our walk with him. Applying in all diligence. So it's telling us these things that are going to be listed here to apply in all diligence. And remember some of the words we used just now. Speedily, prompt, and earnest. In other words, don't put it off. Don't wait to be ready. Be ready. And then it goes through all of these. It starts with faith. And I'm not going to read them all. You can just, Bruce, if you just go through 5 and 6. So you all these things that we've recently talked about on a Sunday morning in here not too long ago. Self-control, perseverance, godliness, 7, verse 7. And in your godless brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, where does it end up? So the highest part is love. Starts with faith and ended up with love. And then verse 8. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. So we're growing in all these. We're supposed to be increasing because we're applying ourselves from our spirit man, from our real me. How? In all diligence. That means we take it serious. We don't put other things in front of it. In all diligence. If these qualities are ours and are increasing, so we're supposed to be growing in them, they render you neither useless or unfruitful. Let's turn that around. They make you useful and fruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Now, a person who does verse 9 sounds like, to me, one who is not diligent in pursuing those other things. Would you agree with that? And then we get to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Now, it doesn't get much stronger than that, does it? Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling, calling you into his grace, is what I believe that's talking about, and choosing you to be born again and walk in his grace. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Now, I would purport to you that if you do those things that started in verse 5, 6, and listed in 5, 6, and 7, and you do them occasionally, that you may walk okay, but you're probably going to stumble. But what has he told us? If we walk with diligence in those things, and they are producing in us, this says you will never stumble. How many of us read that and think, that's out of my reach? No, it's not. It is obtainable for all of us. The word diligent in these verses is the same word that we saw earlier. So this walk is not a hit and miss walk. It's a consistent, this is the way I describe it, a consistent love motivated effort. That grace is free, but it takes some effort on our part, a giving of our time, of our focus, of our attention to the Lord. And I would say to you, and this is what I wrote down, I believe diligence plays a key role in our maturity to achieve what we thought was impossible. When we walk diligently in these things, we get to a point where we were never stumble. I would say you're going to be doing more for the Lord than you ever dreamed possible. And it's all because we're showing diligence. We're not doing it half-heartedly. So let's take a few minutes now and go through and look at a few of the things. And I've just pulled out the highlights, I believe, for tonight, because, again, I just want to stir you up. If you're interested in some more teaching, see me later, and I'll show you how to get there and get some. But I want us to look tonight at Hebrews 11:6. And what we want to do is things that we're commanded to do relative to diligence. Hebrews 11:6. And This is in the King James. So I'm just going to read from the screen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that, number one, he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder. But it doesn't stop there. There's not a period there, is it? Who is this pertaining to? Those that diligently seek him. Those that diligently seek him. Now, the word diligently seek, those two words come from a Greek word which means this: to search out until found. That says to me you don't quit. To crave. In other words, a real desire, earnest desire. To demand. In other words, to require, inquire diligently, or carefully seek after. It's like you know it's there, and you're not going to quit until you find it. How many of you have ever said concerning things of the Lord, I know there's more? There is. Now, don't let that go flying over your head right now. We know there's more because there is more. There is never an ending of what we can learn and how we can grow in this world. The Passion Translation, let me read the last part of it. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real, and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and all their strength in seeking him. And to me, that sounds like part of diligence is doing things, we would use an Old Testament term, wholeheartedly. With all your heart, with all that person inside that you are. So, it's not a partial effort. It's a wholehearted effort. What else does he tell us concerning diligence? Diligently seek him, number one. Number two, go to Joshua 22:5. And Bruce is going to show all these on the screen for us if you don't want to turn. Second one is diligently heed his word. So, 22 verse 5 says, but take diligent heed. Now, what does heed mean? To pay attention to focus your eyes upon it, to pursue it. Take diligent heed to do. Doesn't say take diligent heed just to know, but to do, which implies what? You know what to do. To do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, has charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and cleave unto him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, the Hebrew word here is meod, M-E-O-D. And it means this: vehemence, or vehemently. It implies wholly and speedily. Now, we've seen speedily come up twice. Let me just make this point that of something I believe. When the Lord tells you to do something, if you don't act with diligence, speedily, what are you allowing the devil to do? To talk you out of ever taking that first step. The longer you wait to take a step on what he's told you to do, the more you're going to see he's there just speaking in your ear, telling you different things, trying to steal that word that the Lord wants you to pursue for him. It also implies doing something in a superlative manner. So we might say there's a degree of excellence in it. And it's translated such things as diligent, diligently, fast, quickly, exceedingly, greatly. And it goes, the list goes on. So we're to seek him, and we're to take heed to his word. But when we see that, what do we know? Take heed to do. So it's not just saying book learning. It's saying something we're supposed to live. One you all know, Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that we're to keep our heart with all diligence. With all diligence, for out of our heart, out of it, flow the issues of life. My New American Standard that I use most of the time says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So we're supposed to guard that heart, the same word that was used to guard as Adam was given concerning the garden, to keep it, to make sure it's productive. Guard your heart with all diligence. The word diligence here, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it means a guard over a man, a place, or an object. And figuratively, what it's implying is you're willing to make a deposit or make an investment. Now, does that bring back the origin of the word in English from the Latin, diligence, which meant to value, to esteem highly? So you're making a deposit when you're being diligent. You're making an investment on something that's worthy to you of spending time and effort on. You might say it reflects your view of the value of what you've been told to be diligent to. So this says, watch over your heart, or be diligent. With all diligence, watch over your heart. Now it's interesting to me, look down at verse 20 in this same chapter. And really this comes just before it. So people say, how do I guard my heart? You guard your heart with the Word of God in your mouth. Look at what he's saying here. Look what comes just before telling us how to guard our heart. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. 21, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, stop there. If they're in the midst of our heart, what does Jesus tell us? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we begin to see how we're to reign and rule. And then 22, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their body. And then he tells us, watch over your heart with all diligence. Use the Word of God. Use those things that come out of your mouth to guard your heart. Diligent. Diligent based on the Word, and we've seen that means more than just knowing the Word, but doing the Word. Now let's go back to the New Testament, to Hebrews 6th chapter. And I know we're going from end to end, but I want you to come away with the concept that diligence is not just a New Testament doctrine or some instruction, but it's both Old Testament and New Testament. And I believe it's a very strong instruction for us. We're to be diligent in our work. Hebrews 6, and I said start at verse 10, but let me go back to 9. Let me just read you the first few words of 9. But, beloved, so I told you you were going to see this word over and over. This diligence begins with knowing how valuable you are. If I can say it another way, how diligent the Lord is in His watching over you and in His providing you. Then to verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the what? The love, we're walking in that love, which you've shown toward His name. How we're showing that? In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And then verse 11, which is the one we wanted to focus on. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Now let's just stop there before we go on. What is that telling us? He's telling us that He wants all of us in this auditorium tonight to show the same diligence. That says to me, He doesn't believe we're all showing the same diligence. Don't look at anybody else now. We all need to be increasing in diligence. Who's our standard? It's not Pastor Trey, it's not Pastor Robert, it's Jesus. And so we want to begin to walk in increased diligence. And it is for everybody. Don't think yourself not important. You need to be diligent, because if we're fitly joined together and you're not performing your part, He's put us together in such a precision that when someone is not being diligent to what they're called to do, the others are impacted. And that's not really what I wanted to teach tonight. Now the word diligence here is a different word. It's S-P-U-O-D-E in the Greek, spoude. And it comes from the same root word as in 2 Peter 1 and 3 we saw earlier. It means speed, eagerness, and earnest. It also indicates diligence, business, carefulness, and with haste. So we're implying that all people are not fulfilling the calling, or not fulfilling or walking in the grace with the same diligence. Now, one of the reasons I believe it's so important to us is, look at this next verse, what diligence is tied to. Verse 12. So that you won't be sluggish. We're going to talk about that. We'll come back to it in a minute. But imitators of those who through faith and what? Patience. You begin to see that diligence has a connotation of taking something through to completion, which is going to involve faith and patience. Because a lot of it doesn't happen right away. And what happens to those of us who walk diligently and imitate those with faith and patience? We do what? Inherit the promises. What promises? All of those promises that we read earlier pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need. So we're beginning to see that diligence allows us to not just get started on something, but it can be, if we're diligent, again, in our spirit man, in our inner man, it will sustain us to complete what we've gone. You wonder sometimes, well, how am I going to persevere? I would purport that part of it is walking in diligence to you. It will see you through to the end of what you've been called to do. It's often easy to get started, but we can be diligent. And let's take some of the elements we've learned about that word. We'll get started on it quickly. We'll continue it. We'll search it out. We'll get to the end. Why? Because our whole focus is on Jesus and His love for us and what we did. And that's motivating us from the inside to take this flesh and control it. When we talk about suffering for the Lord, I'm convinced. Now, there are persecutions that are going to come against us. But most of the time, I believe when we're talking about suffering for the Lord, we're talking about changing our minds on what we want to do and putting His things first. Doing what we want. And this force coming from the inside, when you focus on His love, I believe will help you. Now, why do I mention here slothful or sluggishness? Slothful is what King James said in New American Standard. Think about our definitions of diligent. It's just the opposite. Two words that are used, one in the Greek and another in the Hebrew, for slothful. One of them means tardy or indolent. Now, I had to look indolent up, I'll just be honest with you. But it means lazy. But the one that hit me the hardest was a word that's used in Judges 18 when they're talking about being sluggish or slothful to enter the land. That word literally means to do what I'm doing right now. To lean idly. In other words, okay, I'll get to it sooner or later, but I'm comfortable now. And isn't that what happened? They got so comfortable they wouldn't enter in. I mean, they didn't have the confidence and the faith, sure, but they were able to take less than what the Lord really wanted to be able to give them. It can mean slack, and it also can mean literally to be still. So what is the source of this slothfulness? Our flesh, you would say, yes. How about wrong thinking, not having your mind renewed? How about listening to the words of the enemy and what he tells you to do? How about the fact that it takes us doing something to... it doesn't require that we step out of our comfort zone if we're sluggish in doing something. I mean, the list goes on and on. But what am I all talking... What am I talking about on each of them? My flesh. My mind, the part that's in... the flesh part of me. So if that is all taking place there, then where does this diligence originate? I believe it's pursuing, when we pursue diligence, we're pursuing things of the Lord and that He wants us to do, starting with our spirit man first, not trying to start with our flesh. We're not starting on an idea we have. We're letting Him plant that calling deep inside us, and we're working from that love that He has for us on it. Is this important? I'm convinced it is. So I would ask you the question, when you get a command from the Lord to do something, just like I did to build a website, I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know where to start. Still don't. Fortunately, the Lord's connected me to people who do. What do we do? Do we take these as merely a suggestion of the Lord? Hey, it might be a good idea. And what am I doing all the while? And for those who are listening, I'm just leaning on the platform up here against it. Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea. I wonder what I ought to do. Instead of what? Stepping out and pursuing it. Or do we see these instructions to us, things we've been graced to do that He tells us? Do we see it as a command, just like we ought to see the command, do not fear? It's not a suggestion. You know, He never tells us in the Word of God, try not to fear. And that's one reason I think you have to be careful with a lot of these modern translations, because you'll find a lot of them that say, try or tried. The Lord never tells you to try anything. We're to hear His Word and what? Be diligent to do it. Let me give you an example of this. Go to the book of Ezra. Book of Ezra, 7th chapter, 10th verse. And I'm going to read 10 and 23 to you. Verse 10 says, Ezra, and I'm reading New American Standard now, and you've got on the screen, which is good, the King James, because I want to use both parts of these. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach His statutes and ordinances in Israel. King James says Ezra has prepared his heart. What does this sound like he's doing? He's making a determination, this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm not approaching it half-heartedly. I am setting my mind, setting my being, that this is the way I will live. And then a little later on, Artaxerxes is going to send him over back to Jerusalem, and he's giving some instructions. And I want you to look what the king in verse 23 says. He's telling him how he wants things done. Whosoever, now this is a man talking about the things of the Lord, and it's a man who doesn't know the Lord. Whosoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. Let it be diligently done. Beloved, if a non-believer sees that we're to take the things of the Lord and be diligent about them, why not we, who are born-again believers, why don't we approach it in the same manner in everything we're called to do? Now, don't let this discussion bring condemnation to you. This is instructions in how to live in righteousness and how to increase in what we're doing. So in these last few minutes together, I want to look at a number. I didn't count them, but 5 or 6 things that this will do for you. In other words, rewards that are associated and enumerated in Scripture, or promises, you might say, concerning diligence. So the first one, go to Proverbs 13th chapter. The first one deals with living a life of fulfillment and a satisfied life. Proverbs 13 verse 4. The soul of the sluggard, or the slothful, craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, made fat here is a good thing, because it's talking about being enriched. Okay? So this is talking about, for us, in fact, the English Standard Version says, the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Would you like that to be you? Boy, I would more and more. Look at Proverbs 8, verse 17. 8, verse 17. And I'm not looking them up, but let me get there. I love those who love me, Lord says, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Diligently, wholehearted pursuit, they will find me. Now, let me get to there because, Bruce, can you pull up verse 18? Yeah, he pulled up the whole chapter. Good. Look what comes right after that. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and what? Righteousness. And what is this for? Back up to 17. What is this following? Those who diligently seek him and find him. It's not talking about seeking, being diligent seeking him. It's not talking about every time you got a problem comes up. It's talking about doing it when? In the good times as well. Honor and favor. So this one leads me to the next one. So look at Proverbs 22. Let me stop. You can be turned there, but I want to read you the Amplified version of Proverbs 8:17. I love those, because you'll understand the word diligently better here. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early, in other words, diligently, shall find me. I think about a lot of the characters in the Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament, and God would tell them something, and what does the next verse say? And they rose early. So there is something about this being diligent of getting on with what he's asking us to do, not just standing still. So Proverbs 22:29, honor and favor is directly associated with diligence. So it's 22:29. And I may have written it wrong, but you can get there. See a man diligent in his business. In other words, he gets started on time. He completes on time. He does things according to what he's told to do. He shall stand before kings, and he shall not stand before mean men. Now, you're about to see that someone who leans idly and does nothing, this implies what? That they might have to stand before mean men. And if you look in Proverbs, you'll see over and over that's the case. In fact, it talks about they'll face hard labor. Proverbs 11:27. Proverbs 11:27 in the Amplified. He who diligently seeks good seeks what? Favor. Now, you're diligently seeks good. So if you're doing the right things, what is this saying? That you're also going to be receiving the favor of God in your life. So honor and favor. But look who seeks evil. Evil's going to come to him. And again, the literal translation for this verse says, he who is early in seeking good seeks favor. So what is this encouraging us to do? To be on time. And when we talked earlier this year and did all those sessions on prosperity with purpose, one of the things that I said was referring to some of this word about diligence. Because diligence, if we're diligent in every area of our life, if we owe someone something, and we're diligent to act appropriately, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be paying them. How? On time, if not even early. So, very important. The next thing, ruling or walking in authority. Proverbs 12:24. The New American Standard says, the hand of the diligent will rule. The hand of the diligent will rule. But what do you think is going to happen to the one who leans idly? But the slack hand will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. The Bible in basic English says it a little bit differently. The hand of the ready worker will have authority, but he who is slow in his work will be put to forced work. He who is slow in his work will be put to forced work. And the complete Jewish just says it very concisely. The diligent will rule, while the lazy will be put to forced labor. That's not where I want to be. I want to be among the diligent. You know, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus is talking to his disciple just before he ascends, and what does he say? All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. And the very next verse says, therefore you go. The word there is exousia. Here's some of the things it means. Authority, competency, freedom, rule, and to bring in dominion. From the things we've looked at, do you see how when we're diligent in the things we're told to be accomplishing, that we're being put in a position to exercise in a greater manner the authority that Jesus has even given us in this world? And that includes exercise that authority over your own body. It'll put you in a position to dominate your body more effectively. Two more. Proverbs 10:4. Diligent. Working with diligence. And this pertains to riches. And I don't mean riches as just money. It is a part of it. And that's what this verse is particularly referring to. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Young's literal translation, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The Webster says the hand of the diligent brings wealth. And that's what complete Jewish indicates as well. Diligent hands bring wealth. So we're talking about when we're diligent in things, that we can continue to expect the Lord to bless us. But what does that also mean we've got to be diligent in? Our giving, on the other side of it, things that we're instructed to do, being givers, sowing good seed. The final one deals with rest. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Does this encourage you as it does me to see what is possible if I will just look to Him and keep my eyes on Him instead of trying to figure out how I'm going to do everything myself and let diligence rise up inside me and push me to pursuing the right things? Deuteronomy 6:6-7. You can tell what's on my mind. And when I was reading these again this afternoon, I had the thought, I wonder if this is what Ezra read when he decided, I'm going to set my heart on the Word of God. These words which I'm commanding you this day shall be on your heart. You shall teach them how? Why was Abraham chosen by God? Because he knew that he would teach his children the things of the Lord. And I would say it, he knew he would teach them diligently. You know he did it. Because when he and Isaac went to the mount, Isaac wasn't 5 years old. The word that's used for Isaac there, describing him as a lad, is the same word that is used for fighting men back when Abram took his fighting men. That's the word that's used. and went and conquered those kings and brought back Lot and all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, why do I say he taught him? He'd have never caught him to get him up on that altar to offer him. I mean, you're talking about a young man, and he's 100 years old. Diligently teach our children. You should diligently teach them to your sons, and you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is that saying? Diligence means doing it routinely, all the time. Don't go long periods without doing it. Now, I want you to look down in verses 17 and 18 in this chapter. And here, he's talking about taking them, getting them ready to take them into the land. 17, you should diligently keep the commandments. So we're reinforcing this. I'm a doer of what? The Word of God. You should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He's commanded you. 18, you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And what is the benefit of being diligent in being a doer of the Word? That it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Now, what was that land to be for them? Can I say it this way? A land of rest, where things were provided. They were going to drive out the enemies in front of them. Look at Hebrews 4:11, and we'll close with this one. You might say that was a land of rest. Canaan land was a land of rest for them, not a land of toil as they went round and round. Our instruction, let us therefore be diligent to enter into what? That rest. What rest? Does that mean, does rest mean the same thing there as lean idly? No. It's talking about the rest of faith, where we started with that list in 2 Peter. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same examples of disobedience. And that's talking about referring to back like the children of Israel did. So what I believe the Lord wanted us to do tonight is just stir ourselves up as we approach a new year. Let not this new year concerning things of the Lord being a hit and miss for us. Let us be diligent with it. So let me read to you where we started. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And then verse 8. For if all these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for encouraging us. We thank you for challenging us. Father, we acknowledge to you that we know that you've got things planned for us next year that we cannot accomplish on our own, in our personal lives, in our families, and in this corporate body of Christ here at High Point Church. So I just ask, Father, to open our hearts so that the seeds we've sown, as we water them, each person that waters them individually, that they will burst forth. And this fruit of this power that's in being diligent to do the things that you've instructed us to, that we'll be in a position to do them diligently, so that all these things that we've talked about, favor and honor, rest, riches, will flow to us so that we can go about doing your work next year. And it's in the name of our Lord Jesus that we ask it. Amen.